don't tie together.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. Here's how we roll all over the map. I don't care how you roll, how you say you are a Democrat or a Republican or you're undecided or perhaps you're an independent. It's all about opinions. If you have them, you're welcome to the party. I'm going to throw out my digits right from the get-go because I know you're going to want to jump on the lines. 800-259-5791. We're sick of the same old, and of course the logjam that is our legislative branch, it just continues. Nothing comes out, well out of this whole payroll tax fight. There is no decision basically. Limbo. And that's where we're always at when it comes to this Congress of do-nothings, say nothing, only do it when it's convenient. This isn't anything new. Since I've jumped on the airwaves doing America Tonight, I say this all the time. It's the land of reaction instead of action. Everybody reacts to what the other person is saying or doing. If you really pay attention, just sit and watch C-SPAN. I know. It's like watching paint dry sometimes. But just sit and watch or listen when we play things on America Tonight. And it starts to add up and make sense. It's only about reaction. It's rarely ever about action. Somebody getting ahead of whatever the issue is, which is why we're $14 trillion plus in the hole. That's our deficit, which is why China holds the big giant debt over our heads. It's like we're playing just to tread water. I don't want to tread water anymore. Do you? I don't want to tread water. Let's take some risks. Let's put some people in place who want the same thing. Let's stop the nonsense. We don't want to tread water. We don't want to be rescued. That's what happens when you tread water. That's the reason you learn to do it when you're a kid, in case the boat capsizes. Why can't we just control our own destiny and drive that boat? Let's get people in place that want to drive the boat, not the sissies and the nannies and the do-nothing people that we have in place right now. So let me just tell you the latest, just so you know, because we've talked about it too much to ignore it. And I have plenty of thoughts on the payroll tax cut anyway. The problem is, how are you paying for it? It's always about robbing one thing to pay for the other thing. But okay, people are used to it. And then you portray it as the bad guys are the Republicans. So screw them. Because they didn't want to do anything. They didn't want to stick around and do anything. So it's their fault that you're not going to get $1,000 in your paycheck next year. You're not going to get that $50 extra every 2 weeks when you look at the bottom line. And that is being drilled into people's heads. So the House passed a measure calling for more negotiations. Basically, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, sent a letter to the President pushing him to order the Senate to get their rear ends back from the holiday break that they just went on to be part of more talks. Now, that's maneuvering, too, because, of course, they're not going to do it. So they're not coming back. I mean, they've already said there's no way they're coming back. They put their Band-Aid out there, their little wimpy two-month extension. It passed. They could say it had some bipartisan cooperation in it because there was enough to tout that. Then the House picks it up. There was no Democratic support. The final vote was 229 to 193. So it's not going to happen. And what does this mean? It means we keep talking about it. And the extension will expire December 31st. So that's what happens. It's done. I guarantee no matter where you lie on this issue, everybody's going to see it in their paychecks. Because I don't think Warren Buffett's listening to the show. Maybe he is. I don't think so. I don't think the people that it's not affecting are listening to America Tonight. I feel pretty confident about that. Even if you're making a decent chunk of change, if you're making $200,000, then you're going to see $2,000 not in your check next time around. But like I said, you have to watch how that's set up, because where did they get the money in the first place? They stole it from Social Security. And maybe you're about to go on Social Security. So tick, tick, tick. It's time to wake up. It's really time to stop treading water. I say kick them all out. We got to start over again. Give me the third party. Oh, that's what I want for Christmas. I want the third party. I want an alternative. I want an alternative that I can believe in. Izzy in Missouri, you get the first word. Hey, Izzy.
Is it Alan in Canada that asked about the IRS code? It's a little over 77,000 pages.
And it's ridiculous, yeah.
I've known that for quite a few years, and people don't believe me. I say, yeah, just stack up a whole bunch of reams of paper, and then you're looking at the tax code. And I said, that'd take a whole room.
And Izzy, you know why that is? Partially because they know. I mean, really, who's going to read the whole code?
I've gotten about halfway through it.
I want a picture of that. You send us a picture of that. We'll put that on the website.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where it is now, but I've gotten about halfway through that.
I love that.
I read everything. But I have some news. People talking about banks and talking about economy.
Uh-huh.
Well, I decided to do this little project for America Tonight, because I've told all of these people I've spoken to, which are mostly manufacturers, that you were doing little blips on Made in China, and between you and I, we're like, no more Made in China.
Right.
And the little contest there that you had about go through your house and see how much is made in China.
Sure.
Well, I started looking on the internet for the Made in America people, and I came up with a young man in South Dakota, of all places, Watertown, South Dakota, and his enterprise is Brun's Enterprise. Now, he did not go out and borrow a lot of money. He did not go into debt. Really, really nice young man. Lee Bruns is his name. Started a jacket company, kind of like Carhartt, which, by the way, Carhartt is now outsourced. So we don't buy the Carhartts anymore. But his jackets are really nice. He's got them in women's sizes. They're made to order. And he's coming out with a leather line for bikers.
Mm.
And this is all done in South Dakota. And it's being done by little old ladies like me that know how to sew. It's really, you know, kind of a difficult project because they're not using big money. But he's managed to sell overseas. He's got orders coming in from Australia, New Zealand, and people that are reordering up. This is a man who started, an entrepreneur, started out in Watertown, South Dakota on a shoestring, and he's making a go of Made in America clothing. Then I found one in Oregon, Danner Boots. Now, that's a large corporation. They're Made in America, and they also follow the Berry Act, which is if you sell to the military, you better have it made in America.
I love it, and that's true. I got another one for you I'm going to tell you on the flip side. Izzy, thanks. I love it. She really took up that mantle, and I was serious about it. If you never heard me say it, just take an hour, go through your house, turn things over, and see how many things you own, you'd be surprised, that were made in China.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Everybody knows what a huge baseball fan I am, and I am a fan of this guy. Covered him, actually, when he spent some time in Texas. And then, of course, I went to New York, but I missed him in New York. We're talking with former New York Yankees catcher Jim Leyritz here on America Tonight. If you remember, Leyritz was the guy who really pushed the Yanks in 96 when he hit the eighth inning home run that pushed the Yanks, actually, to their first world championship, rather, in 18 years. Trust me, with my family, I knew all about Leyritz even before I actually covered him. And what a wild ride it's been for Jim. If you look at some of the things that have happened to him since that world championship, the trade from the Yankees, obviously people know that there was a great big spotlight on Jim when he became a defendant in a vehicular manslaughter case, and all the national attention that got. And, of course, there have been some custody battles and whatnot. He's come a long way. And he's written a book called Catching the Heat with a couple of other baseball experts, Douglas Lines and Jeff Lines. It's called Catching Heat, the Jim Leyritz Story. Jim, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
First of all, let's talk about the World Series, and let's talk about one of the highs, because that obviously is one of the biggest highs. Let's talk about your shot that pushed New York right into the thick of it. What was that like when the ball left your bat? Did you know, oh, this is it? This is the whole enchilada. I did it.
You know what it was? It was a great home run. It was a great moment, but it was something that just tied the game up. And, you know, we still had a little bit of the game to play, and people always ask me, what were you thinking around the bases? You must have been, you know, so excited. I said, well, I wasn't excited as most people would think, because I hit a home run in 95 that to me was the best moment. It was a walk-off in Yankee Stadium in game two of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we never went on to win, and we didn't finish that series out, so that home run kind of became a footnote. And all I could think about rounding second base was, okay, this is great. This could be a huge change, but if we don't win this game and we don't win this series, it's just another footnote. So, fortunately, the guys picked it up a little bit. We won the next game 1-0, and then we went home to New York and won game 6, and that brought the first championship back to New York in over 15 years.
Yeah. So you go from that moment, you go from those moments, you know, everybody was calling you the king. You spent some time with the Angels, the Rangers, as I mentioned, where I met you, the Boston Red Sox, the Padres, and, of course, the Dodgers. But you start, your debut is in 1990 with the New York Yankees. I mean, the Yankees and all the lore attached to that team. And then eventually you get traded from the Yankees. What was the deal behind that? I mean, what was that like? I mean, it had to be devastating for you.
Well, actually, I tell the whole story in the book about it as far as it, that Mr. Steinbrenner actually did me a favor. I wanted to be an everyday player. And after the 96 home run, after winning a World Series, I accomplished the team goal that I had set out when I first got to New York. And I really wanted to become an everyday player. And I went to Mr. Steinbrenner and said, you know what, now I would like an opportunity to pursue an everyday role. And he went to Mr. Joe Torre and he said, you know, Joe, is Jimmy going to be any more than what he was this year? And Joe said no. And so Mr. Steinbrenner talked to my agents and said, if you can find me a good deal, if you can find me a trade, that he gets somewhere where he can play every day, then we'll go ahead and make it. And, you know, my agents were Tom Rich and Adam Kass at the time, and they spoke to the Angels and Bill Bevesi, and he said, you know, so definitely let's make this guy an everyday catcher. And they made the trade, and it was really a class act by Mr. Steinbrenner. I mean, after the trade was done, I walked into his office in Tampa, where I used to work out in the off season, and you know, I had my bags packed, and I said, "Hey, listen, thank you for everything. I appreciate you. You know, you give me an opportunity to go play every day." And he said, "Well, why are your bags packed? Well, you know, why aren't you going to be working out again this?" Because I used to work out at the Tampa complex.
Sure.
In the off season, and he said, "Why aren't you working out?" I said, "Well, I'm no longer a Yankee. I'm now an Angel." And he looked at me. He said, "Go unpack your bag, kid." He said, "You will always be a Yankee. And as long as you want to work out here, this facility is open for you to work out." And just a really class act by him, and something that made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, in the New York papers, it was never portrayed that way. I mean, so it's interesting. You talk about that in your book. But like you say, you wanted to be an everyday guy. And, I mean, eventually, I'm sure along the way, when you talk with other sports writers and whatnot, they wrote things about it. But in New York, it didn't really come out that that's what happened. So I think that's I think that is classy of George to have done that for you, and then to say, "Hey, stick around and still work out." Did you do it? Did you work out there?
No, I stayed around, and then it was funny because the first time we came back into New York to play in '97 with the Angels, I had two game-winning hits, and afterwards went up and saw Mr. Steinbrenner, and he said, "Hey, listen, it's one thing to let you work out at our complex. It's another thing that you come in here and you beat us a couple games. When you come in here, take these 3 days off and take it easy on it." So I had a really great relationship with him, and it was, for me, it was a very, very sad day when I was when I was at the All-Star game, you know, last year, and found out that he passed away.
Yeah, no kidding. The other thing that you talk about in your book, and you're very, very open in this book, I guess that's what I should ask you. Why did you write the book? What made you, was it cathartic for you to write the book?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with, number one, it was a book that I was already in the process of writing about my kids and about leaving the game of baseball and coming home and taking care of my kids and becoming a full-time father because my ex-wife couldn't. But more so, too, because the fact that, you know, I had a lot of fans out there and a lot of people that looked up to me. At the time of the accident, I was doing speaking about never being drafted, making it to the big leagues, having that moment that every kid dreams of in a World Series. And the way the papers were portraying me and the way the state attorney of Florida tried to portray me was nothing close to the truth of who I really was as a person and what I was going through and the situation that everyone was going through at the time. And I met a woman who heard my story, and I talked to her about what I had been going through for those 3 years, waiting for that day, waiting for that trial. And she said, you know, I think you have an interesting story that you could tell people, that people could draw a lot of inspiration about keeping their faith and keeping belief, and would you consider writing, you know, a book? And I said, well, listen, I already had one in the works before the accident. You know, take a look at it. And she read it, and she came to me, and she said, listen, she said, I think you have a tremendous story that you could reach a lot of different people and change lives. But she said, it's going to take you being truthful and being honest and putting everything out there. Would you be willing to do it? And I thought about it for a little while and, you know, talked to a few people about it and said, you know what, this is, if I know I can change lives, I know I can make other people make different decisions and also share some really good stories and some good moments with people. And let my fans know, of course, what really happened those 3 years that were going on. I was very blessed to have that opportunity to write the book, So I decided to go ahead and write it.
Yeah, and talking about that, you almost went to prison for vehicular manslaughter, and you said it was such a long odyssey, and you talk about it in the book. You talk about some things that people didn't know. You mentioned it just briefly there about what happened in Fort Lauderdale. What would you say to people listening to this interview now? Obviously, they can get your book, and they can find out in greater detail, but what would be something that you would reveal to them that they just didn't know about what they were reading about in the papers or watching on CNN or ESPN or someplace else?
Well, I think the most important thing would be, number one, that the accident, that I wasn't the cause of the accident, that it took a jury 45 minutes with half of the evidence, because most of it was left out, to decide that. And, you know, and just, it wasn't, you know, my life at the time wasn't really that bad as it made it out to be. You know, I was very successful in TV and radio. I was getting ready to move my kids full-time to New York with me. I had custody of them. And it was just an unfortunate accident, but really, what left a sour taste in my mouth of the whole situation was the fact that it wasn't covered as a woman lost her life, two children lost a mother, and there was a man that had three children that he had primary custody of, that from one day to the next their kids didn't know about whether he was going to come home or not. It was about, they kept saying a World Series hero, and a state attorney was trying to run for judge, and, you know, it wasn't about the accident and really getting to the truth. It was about personal gain for some people that were involved in it. And like I said, the way the media covered it, I just thought was very harsh and very wrong and really inconsiderate to what the two families were going through at the time. And like I said, just if you read the book and you read some of the things that happened during those 3 years, the delays and the things that were so unnecessary because the state attorney was trying to keep her name out there and, you know, she was running to become a judge, it was just sad to me that this was what everyone had to go through and wait for those 3 years.
You mentioned in this about in the book, and you just said it there, the fact that you had primary custody of your three sons. What happened there with your second wife, and what didn't she have problems with drugs, and is that what partially led to you getting the custody? What was that battle like?
Yeah, in 2003 when I got divorced, she went through a psychological testing, and we found out that she was bipolar and that she had some addiction issues, and that she just wasn't capable of taking care of the kids. And unfortunately, the lifestyle that we were leading, she didn't want to leave, and I did. And I wanted to become a full-time father, and I wanted to make sure these kids had a stable background. And to this day, I'm still fighting the family court system down there in Florida to be able to take them and get them away from that lifestyle. And, you know, hopefully soon that will happen, and I plan on hopefully in September getting them full-time and moving them to California with me to start a new life out here.
Yeah. All right, so we'll be back with more with Jim Leyritz in just a second here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Sugarfoot called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah.
And we're continuing our conversation with Jim Leyritz. He's got a great new book out. You need to pick it up. It's called Catching Heat, the Jim Leyritz story. I mean, it is everything. Everything that happened in his life, how he rose through the ranks in baseball and really fought his way to becoming somebody who was an everyday player, somebody that people certainly knew as a primary catcher for a bunch of teams and as a New York Yankees hero, no doubt about that, to some of the other things that he's fought off that we've been talking about. And we were talking about your kids. How, I mean, obviously I can hear that in your voice, Jim, that your kids mean so much to you. And in going through those battles, there's a lot of other men and women, frankly, but there's a lot of men, people don't realize that, that are in similar situations, and it's starting to change a little bit, but it's tough sometimes for the man to get custody. Have you found that that's part of this battle that you've had to wage, that you're hoping you're going to get them full time, that it's tougher for the guy?
Yeah, you know, in different states, it's even more difficult, and Florida is one of the most difficult ones. And that's why, like I said, I already had the primary custody, and now it's a matter of there still has not been any change on her part, and I just really want to get those kids away from that atmosphere. But, you know, Alec Baldwin wrote a book about it, how difficult it is for fathers.
Yeah.
And it's really true, and I've read his book, and I've spoke with him many times about it, and just really how the system, and you're right, his awareness that he brought out in his book is starting to change things a little bit, but it's still not enough, and to me, it's amazing some of the things that aren't taken into consideration when you're thinking about kids and their safety, and more the mental abuse and just the lack of care, and more so than anything else. But, you know, I know, like in the state of Florida, it's a kind of a running joke with the officers down there that if as long as there's food in the refrigerator and the kids aren't being beaten, we don't care. And it's kind of sad, because to me, that's the situation that, you know, in my situation, it's my children not getting to school, you know, and their mother not thinking that's important. And you know, just things like that that are just very difficult for me to sit back and watch, you know, three young boys that that deserve a chance, and that, you know, at an education, number one, but at a chance at life. And I'm hoping, like I said, in the very near future, that I'm able to get them out of there and give them an opportunity.
Yeah, and if that's not enough, you've had to deal with some other things, like your youngest son has a couple of serious illnesses. One of them is he's got hemophilia C, right? And that had to be rough in dealing with that. And all of this happened right before he was even one. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's the same type of disease as Jorge Posada's son has, and Jorge has a foundation. It's called cranial stenosis. And the first disease that he had was where he had to have surgery at 9 months. And at the time of the surgery was scheduled, a week before surgery, we didn't know that he had the hemophilia C condition. And I was changing him one day, and he rolled off the bed, and he hit his head, and he got a little hematoma on his head, and it wouldn't go away. And it kept getting bigger and bigger, and we rushed him to the hospital. And thank God that happened, because if that would not have happened, the doctors told us they would have done the surgery without the necessary plasma and blood, and that they would have had some serious issues, and they may, you know, we may have lost them through the surgery. And so, in a way, God worked, you know, a strange miracle where that happened. And he's doing better now. He's 10 years old now, and he's not a true hemophiliac, but there are certain times that if it's a very hard contusion or something like that, he does have to sometimes go in and get a plasma or blood transfusion.
Yeah. You also talk in the book about somebody that I've talked to on this show before. I really like this man, Rick Warren, who people know as the pastor of the Saddleback Church, but also he wrote a book that really made him known to even more people, called The Purpose-Driven Life. How did you hook up with Rick Warren, and what did he do to help you?
Well, my pastor at my church, Troy Gramling in Fort Lauderdale, I met with him not even 3 days after the accident, and just trying to piece things together. And he was kind of my mentor for a while, seeing him weekly and just trying to get through life. And as he was talking to me, he was suggesting some books that I read, and he suggested this book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it was by this pastor named Rick Warren, like you're talking about. And I read the book, and it was one chapter every night for 40 nights, and it really changed my life, and it made me just grow strength to get through every single day and realize that, you know, this was temporary, and I could get through this if I just kept my faith and my trust in God. And through those 3 years, you know, living that way and living the gospel that he preaches, a lot of great things started happening in my life. Even though I was still waiting for trial, waiting for things to happen, my mother found God through some of this stuff. I met my future wife, which was, there's a great story in the book about that, about how her and I met, and really how, you know, you say sometimes love at first sight. It was kind of like that, but at the same time, it was more spiritual at first sight. And I had mentioned to her that she was asking me one night how I was getting through all this without, you know, not drinking and not taking pills or not doing anything. How do you get through it? And I said, my faith and my belief that, you know, God has, you know, he sometimes puts us in situations that we don't want to be in or we don't choose to be in, but that we can learn from and that we can grow stronger. And I said, I read this book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and she said, oh, my God, that's the pastor of my church. And since then, her and I have had a long-distance relationship for 2.5 years, and just as recently as of March, I moved out to California to be with her, and she has 2 daughters, and we plan on bringing my 3 boys out here and starting a new life out here with the church. And, you know, I got to meet Pastor Rick through her a couple times, and he is really excited about us coming out here and starting some programs with the church and just really giving back and becoming part of the community out here in Orange County.
You'll be like the Brady Bunch, you know that, right?
We're one short of the Brady Bunch, exactly.
I love that. Hey, one last one. Everybody's going to want to know, besides obviously talking about this book, you're also coaching baseball. You're also involved in baseball. Tell everyone where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah, as of right now, one of my best friends was a guy named Tom Settner, who offered me a job right after the accident happened, or after the trial was over with, and said, I want you to get back on the field. That's where you belong, and gave me a job. And he went to his manager, who is Tim Raines, one of my former teammates, and said, you know what, let's bring in Larry to the coach. And Tim Raines said, yes, exactly. You know, And so I've been working there for the last few months as a pitching and hitting coach for the Newark Bears with also Ron Karkovice. And it's a great thing. It's, you know what, it's all about kind of my story. It's about guys that never got drafted, guys that just want that chance to be to play in the minor leagues and possibly the major leagues. And it's a really great opportunity for me, number one, to be a part of that. But also what I did to each one of those guys is when they first came in, I said, here, take this book. Read this. There's a lot of great stories in it, and they'll tell you how to get there and all the sacrifices you have to make to get there. But there's also some great stories and things that you might make different decisions, and you can, you know, change your life and not go through some of the hardships that I went through and make some better decisions than I did. And, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just a great opportunity for this book to be able to reach so many different people in so many different ways.
All right, Jimmy Leyritz, again, Catching Heat. It's his story. Thanks so much and continued success and good luck with everything, Jim. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, thank you very much. And like I need to plug, if people want to pick up the book or a signed copy of the book, they can go to jimleyritz.com and get a copy. But I appreciate you giving me the time. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Thank you. All right, so Jimmy Leyritz turning things around, trying to get things with his life back on track after a horrendous car accident where, boy, in the court of public opinion, he was definitely tried and hung. And then, as he said, that he felt awful because, of course, the headlines were even bigger no matter what because of the fact that he was a baseball player. And so he goes from that to becoming the new pitching coach for the minor league Newark Bears. And things went pretty well for Jim in Newark. Fans embraced him, certainly, and I shouldn't say certainly, but they did embrace him, and they did pretty well. So once he was cleared of those criminal charges, because that fatal car collision happened back in 2007, then he ended up taking that spot with the Bears, and he mentioned it, Timmy Raines, his former Yankees teammate. That helped him out a lot because he was able to slide into that position. And it was just over a year ago that Fort Lauderdale jury acquitted Leyritz of the DUI manslaughter after days of testimony that really focused on whether he ran a red light right before the crash that killed that mother of two. On another quick note here from the sports world, a big shocker from Philadelphia, a longtime sports columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News, a guy with a really big mouth known for that, Bill Conlon, who'd been there forever, award winner, was on the tube all the time as a commentator, reporter, had to resign from the Philadelphia Daily News because of the fact that these allegations are starting to pour out about sexual abuse. Three women and a man came forward accusing Conlon, who's now 77, of groping and fondling them when they were 7 to 12 years old. And even a niece of Conlon's told the newspaper, one of the newspapers in Philly, that it's a tragedy that people kept quiet, that it's a secret, but it's true, that there were people who knew what he did and didn't do anything. Wow. So, again, now it's like all these chips are flying, sadly, although it's good because we need to stamp out these cockroaches, especially let them have their day in court. But how awful to hear that again. I mean, every day we hear about somebody else abusing their power and abusing children. And maybe, I guess the one thing to take out of it is people who have been victims are rising up and they're coming forward and they're finally saying something. But then you wonder how many people could have been saved from possible abuse. But what a bombshell. And, you know, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, another paper in Philly, the victims decided to come forward after the Penn State scandal. How about that? Stay with us.
ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Warning, the unprepared may not survive the next natural disaster, terrorist attack, pandemic, or economic collapse. In light of recent global unrest and natural disasters, we bring you this urgent message from David Morris, author of the acclaimed Urban Survival Course. Because this message is urgent, we won't waste time on the why you should act now. You already know why. It's the very real and growing dangers reported in the media every day. Now it's the what you must do. Go to freesurvivalminicourse.com and claim your free Urban Survival Mini course that will prepare you right in your own home. Today, David Morris is offering you instant access to a 7-part urban survival mini course at freesurvivalminicourse.com. You should already be at your keyboard. Enough talk. Act now while you still have time and while it's still free. freesurvivalminicourse.com. freesurvivalminicourse.com or call 800-366-5138. 800-366-5138. You'll be glad you did.
Well, we started off this show taking a call from Izzy in Missouri, where she had dug up a few companies that had American-made stuff because it's really tough to find. I mean, you can find it, you just have to dig for it, and you, frankly, in a lot of cases, will have to pay more money. And that's what sent everybody running to Walmart in the first place, because you could get more stuff for the amount of money you made, even if it didn't go up. You were able to spend that money because of you wanted cheap stuff. I mean, that's what it was. People wanted cheap stuff, so they were able to get it. Cheap crap from China. Sorry to say, it's true, right? We don't pull any punches on America tonight. So I said that there was a company that I knew about. We had the CEO on the show once, and he advertises with a bunch of different talk shows, I think, on the GCN network, at least one of them anyway. It's Gusset Jeans, and these jeans are made in America, and that's the deal. They're made in America, and some of the bundles of the stuff that the jeans that people would purchase, people can buy off of their website. They even actually sent some money to Troop Aid. And I really remember talking and liking this man because they started the company and tried to get the relaxed fit and regular fit and what they thought people wanted. And they're doing pretty good. They've got all kinds of other things, too. So they certainly have business and they employ local people. So bravo. There's another one. And 25 years they've been doing it. So they've been able to thrive and survive. They're made, the Diamond Gusset jeans are made in Georgia. Yep. So there's a company for you. There's another one. I bet we can probably find several others, too, in the quest to uncover things that are made in America. It is shocking when you really pay attention. I'm saying really pay attention and start to look at where things are made. You will sadly be surprised at how much stuff that you have in your life, in your world, that is made in China. I mean, unless you don't care. I'm on that kick where we need to be makers, not so much takers. And the more that we can support the people who are trying to do that, that's where I'm headed. That's the direction I'd love to see. I want to get American-made things. All right, so also at the top of the show, we're talking about crazy money woes that we face. The payroll tax extension and what it means to you and how that's going to be the big campaign mantra for the president, because he'll stomp on the Republicans that way and say, hey, they're the ones that took away your money. They're the ones who did that. Well, Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, I like this guy, right? He releases a waste book, and it highlights some of what the government's biggest wasteful spending things are. It included $113,000 for a video game preservation center. You think that's necessary? This is worse, though. $765,000 to subsidize pancakes for yuppies in Washington, because yuppie implies you have plenty of money, so they can't afford it. So you better have that pancake for yuppies breakfast. I mean, what is that? So some of the other things include $10 million for the remake of Sesame Street for Pakistan, and over $760,000 to examine how college students use mobile devices for social networking. Uh-huh. Oh, there's more. It's just too juicy to not give you all this stuff. I want to rile you up. His waste book also says that there's $500,000 was spent for a documentary about how rock music contributed to the collapse of the Soviet Union, as well as over $48,000 for a festival promoting Hawaii's chocolate industry. Why would you spend money on that? Hawaii gets tourist dollars. Why do they need money to promote chocolate? What? Are you kidding? And he didn't leave out his own state, because people would attack him and say, well, what about what's going on in Oklahoma? What about what's happening there? What's the deal? So $400,000 for the state's agriculture department to study how different colors on shade cloths affect vegetable growth. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And you wonder why we're in this situation that we're in. Hello, duh, losing. Jay in Kentucky. Hey, Jay.
How you doing, Kate?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not too awful bad. Hey, there's a couple more ways that I thought of while you were sitting there naming them off. Over in North Carolina, there was a $100,000 grant for a bug museum that employs one person and gets one visitor per year. Some kind of erectile pump through Medicare, $250,000,000 for Medicare. Yeah. Anyway, made in America. You're on that America kick, so.
Yeah.
Gotta go with the big three automakers. Wait a minute. You need made in America. You need Toyota. Imagine that.
Yeah, exactly.
The most American parts are in a Toyota Camry.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. Absolutely. Our friends in the Toyota plant in Georgetown, Kentucky would verify that. But, yeah, people forget about that, Jay, because they just think overall the car, the make, well, they're not thinking about the parts.
It's all about the free trade. That's why Michigan's a ghost town and all the factories are down in Mexico.
Yeah.
And talking about the candidates a little bit, I'm looking for Chris Christie to come flying out of the woodwork. I think he would go straight to the top. What do you think?
Oh, I think he has a lot of support. People really, really wanted to see him do it. He was a couple of months ago out at the Reagan Library, and Mrs. Reagan was even chiding him, pushing him, goading him, whatever, into why won't you run, 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 from what I heard. Yeah, he would have a lot of support. People, there now there are people that will tell you there's an underbelly to him, but everybody's going to have a weak side. But, yes, he would have support, yeah.
And being a baseball addict like you are, you know who Buck O'Neill is?
Buck O'Neill, yes. I mean, yeah, are we talking about Buck O'Neill going back to the Negro Leagues?
Yeah, and the first African-American coach.
Uh-huh.
I have a football that has some faded Kansas City football player signatures and numbers on it, but it's also signed by Buck O'Neill. It might be one of a kind.
How did that happen? Did you, were you somewhere where you got that signed
or someone gave it to you? I bought it. I bought it. At a some collector's event one time, and nobody can really verify how it ended up on a football, but being a coach in Kansas City with the Kansas City Chiefs right there, it's not that hard to figure out. But
No. He probably was somewhere. That's where that happened. You know, there was a great baseball movie. Remember that Ken Burns did a documentary? And Buck O'Neill was one of the people that, one of scores of people that was featured in that. And, wow, that's cool.
He should be in the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, they did do a tribute to him. I remember that. He got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Cool. Just a little piece of memorabilia I picked up. I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
I think it's neat. I like it. Cool.
All right,
thanks, Jay.
We shall talk to you later.
All right. Don't forget about Nail the Score. Nail the Score coming up on our Friday morning, third hour, baby, because Jay in Kentucky, he's going to throw in on this if somebody nails the score, $50 gas card, or Lucky Jay, he's got a cool pad, cabins in the Smoky Mountains. I almost said Rocky Mountains. In the Smoky Mountains, if you rent one of the cabins, they'll put a $100 bill on your table when you arrive. How about that? Sweet.
What, are you kidding me?
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.